Well, I think that one of the main concerns I had right from the beginning was, can I get the kind of can I get my body back in shape where it was 20 years ago in Terminator 1 and 12 years ago in Terminator 2? So it was a challenge because, you know, obviously times have changed, and I basically put together a program and went back to the gym and trained 2-3 hours a day for several months. And even while I was filming, any time that was available where I did not work, I used a half an hour here, an hour there, working out with weights to make sure that I'm coming in great shape and not disappoint the fans and not disappoint myself.
But for many of us, it's a fact of life that as the years go on, it takes a while longer to recover from trauma or from great exertion. Did you find it was a different experience for you after a particularly grueling day on the set that you couldn't just bounce back the way you did 20 years ago?
Well, you see, I don't have the same choice that you have. That the average person out there can say, well, things have changed and therefore, you know, I'm just older now and I have a different body now. You know, when you have millions of people look at your body, so there's no choice. You have to produce the same body no matter what it takes. And so it just took, again, a lot of training and a lot of effort and not think about the obstacles like, okay, you know, meantime had a motorcycle accident, you have surgery or this and this and that. You just forget about all this and live in denial and just say, okay, I'm training now for the Mr. Olympia competition or for the Mr. Universe competition, and I have to be in best shape because I have to win this competition. So with that kind of a mentality, I approached the whole training. And the thing is that when you have had the muscle size once, then it's easier to come back. It's just a matter of stimulating the muscles and giving it the necessary weight resistance in order to bring it back. And you have to be much stricter on a diet. When you think about the changes, it's really your metabolism. Everyone's metabolism after 40 slows down. And that means that everything that you eat will make you easier gain weight and get fat. And so you have to really get on a much more strict diet, meaning to just eat, you know, chicken and turkey and meats and fish and vegetables and not eat the things that I love to eat, which is bread, ice cream, Apfelstrudel, and all of those kind of things. I had to just stay away from that and make the movie more important than just what I like to eat.
Why come back to this character? You certainly didn't have to, and the fans loved it. But you run the risk of disappointing them. Why do it?
Well, if you go through life worrying about the risks, then you would never accomplish anything. I mean, the only way you can accomplish things is if you're willing to take risks. And that has been the story of my life, being able and willing to take risks, to go beyond of where anyone else has gone, to not think of limits and all those kind of things. To me, there was never a question. Should I do Terminator 3 or should I not do it? Because there was such a demand amongst the fans out there, not only in America but worldwide, that they wanted to see another Terminator. As a matter of fact, in the second Terminator, when I was battered and it was half destroyed, and even though I'm beaten, but I let myself into the molten steel, people thought this is the end of the story. Only to find out as soon as the movie left the theaters, you know, there was this campaign, when do we see another Terminator? As a matter of fact, there was not one interview that I could do, if it is for Special Olympics or for my after-school programs or for the President's Council on Fitness or anything else or for any movie that I was promoting, where the first question was not, are you going to do another Terminator? When are you going to go and say, I am back? And so those are the kind of things that came up. So I knew that there was a tremendous demand for the character and for the movie. So I was looking forward to the time where I could, again, put on that leather jacket and put on those sunglasses and jump on my motorcycle and go crazy out there and be the machine. Well, I feel very strongly, and I think Jonathan did the same thing, and the writers, that it makes the movie much more colorful and have more dimensions when you create a kind of those moments. Because when you have people glued to the chair and they go through this suspense and through the drama and all of those things, you want to also have some relief of that. And what is in the middle of a fight scene when there's something funny coming up, it works 10 times better than if you set up a big joke and then something funny is happening, or the joke for the funny thing falls flat and people walk away and says, well, that didn't work really that well. In this movie, it's a very subtle way that the comic relief comes through. And I think it was it's an important part of the Terminator that you create funny circumstances that makes people laugh then in the most tense moments. And so that was done kind of intentionally. Right. Well, I mean, accidents happens, you know, often on a movie set, especially when you deal with explosions and when you deal with stunts and all that stuff. And there was one scene where I carried the casket down the hill, and at the same time I was shooting at the police officers and blowing up their vehicles and basically destroying everything that's in front of me, and at the same time they're shooting back, and so the whole casket was loaded up with squibs that would go off little explosions that would go off, and the idea was not to have any around where I hold my hand, and what they did was put exactly one underneath where I held my hand. And so I felt that in the middle of the shootout, I felt this unbelievable pain and this explosion going off underneath my finger. And I'm absolutely convinced if I wouldn't have had leather gloves, thick leather gloves, my finger would have come off with that. There's no two ways about it, because it was unbelievably bruised for a long time and I had to get medical attention for it.
Arnold, this is kind of a sad jacket because I have a feeling we're not going to be able to talk to you for a while. Is entertainment going to be put on the back burner?
Well, I'm looking forward to doing many more films. I mean, right now we're getting ready to put together Westworld, which is going to be one of the next projects with Warner Brothers. And they're writing right now, two writers that wrote actually Terminator 3 are writing on that script. So we're moving forward with full steam. And I think that... I don't see why I should be stopping at this point.
It's not going to cut into your campaign time?
The political side of it, is something I can think about as time as time goes on. As I said in my Esquire interview, that if the time is right and if there is a need for me, then I will be more than happy to jump in. But that's not something that I have to worry about right now. Well, we maybe do Total Recall number 2. The opening scene of me arriving nude and Kristana arriving nude and all that stuff. Everyone arrives naked in this movie. I know it starts out like that, which I think is the theme of the Terminator movie. From the first one on, it was always like that, that everyone that arrives from the future back to the present time arrives naked, because that's the only way you could do it. That's the rule that we set up. So we have to stay true to that rule, and we do it also in this one here. And that's why it was very important for me to get back in shape. My wife has seen the movie twice, like I have. We just seen it before the visual effects went in, and then after the visual effects, which was just a week ago, when we saw the final version of it, and she loved the movie. And she does not mind me arriving naked as the Terminator whatsoever. She just, the only thing she said was, make sure not to embarrass me. Be in good shape. Go ahead.
Wonder if we're not setting into motion some of the things that the Terminator story
Well, I think that first of all, this is our intention. We want to make we want to kind of copy art in this case here, and create a world where machines take over. No, but the thing is that what is important here is that we have to appreciate technology, and we have to appreciate the computerization and the sophistication and the way we can utilize it every day. I think technology has helped the world hugely and in a big way. But to abuse it, and not to you know, have a certain kind of a safety net there, where we cannot go beyond a certain point, is a key thing here, because you can abuse anything. Anything that is good, you can also abuse, and then it becomes bad. And I think what you see in Terminator is technology gets to a point where machines start communicating with one another. And you don't want to get to that point where they start becoming self-aware. And I think that's what this movie is about. What happens when they do become self-aware? And what can that mean when machines are all of a sudden, like the Frankenstein story, when you create something for one reason, then all of a sudden you realize you created a monster. And now you have to rein it back in again. And how do you do that? I mean, that's basically what has happened in this case. You know, it goes out of control. And how does the human race survive? First of all, I was just back in Washington testifying on Capitol Hill in favor of more after-school programs in this country and in favor of not cutting after-school programs. We also held, just for the first time in the history of the Department of Education, an after-school program summit that was hosted by Secretary Page and myself, where we had all the leading experts come together. And that was, again, intended so that we have clear understanding of what is accountability, which I think is a good idea, and what ought to be a comprehensive after-school program, so that everyone that gets federal funding knows what it is, what the standard is, and how you can get the money. And again, the campaign was not to to cut any of the funding. I don't think it will be cut, but I'm a very optimistic person. I think that Congress is going to put it back in, and I think there will be no cuts.
One of the very impressive things watching your career is you always go into things with your eyes open. You really investigate and explore. And so with this testing of the political waters, you handle us magnificently. You know how to deal with us because we're pussycats. What's your sense of the political press and the kind of reporters and the kind of reporting that you may have to deal with should you choose to make decisions?
Well, I've noticed in my entire campaign for Proposition 49, the After School Education and Safety Act that passed last year, and also campaigning for after school programs and setting up different programs all over the country, that in the political arena, you know, you have a different kind of press. And as it is with the entertainment press, you will have good journalists and you will have some that, well, you know, are not as good. And some of them that are negative, some of them that like what you do, and some of them that don't like what you do. I mean, that's just the way it always is. I think nothing changes. So I'm very much aware of it. And anytime you want to accomplish anything, it's always like, it's never a downhill race. It's always a slalom course. You know, you go around your obstacles and try to overcome them, and then whoever gets there, you know, wins. So, I mean, that's what it's about.
Because of the money you make and the money your movies make, I think it's often forgotten that you're an actor and you must have a love of it. You must enjoy going to work in the morning. I mean, what's the fun side of it? You still enjoy doing movie after movie?
I think there's just something very challenging to be able to just play out a certain character and have everyone else on a set act out certain characters, and then to put this whole thing together, which then becomes the movie, and then entertain millions of people around the world. It's just it's such a wonderful thing, because I think that people, basically most of the people, their lives is not as perfect as they wish that it is. And so for them, it's great escapism. They get great joy out of it. When people go to see the Terminator, so many people feel like powerless. They feel like, you know, that the things are not going the right way. So here's 2 hours where they can watch a movie and where they can fantasize. Wouldn't it be cool to be the Terminator for a few minutes? I can go back to my office and really show them who is the boss. And, you know, the kids think, wouldn't it be cool to take, like my son, I said, I would like to take a Terminator, you know, to school and show off and say to the Terminator, hey, walk through this wall, show them what you can do in order. So everyone has their own little fantasies. So it's great entertainment. If it is this, or if it is a great love story, or if it is a great animated movie where you can take your kids to it and they have a great time. So I think that's, so if you know that when you go to the set every morning and you do your scenes, you know that you're providing great entertainment and it's something very positive for people and they have great joy with it. Yes, the back down there. You know, this is a question that I cannot answer as much as you couldn't answer how Jim Cameron would act when he sees Terminator 3, simply because we have to find out when he sees it, if he likes it, if he doesn't like it. I think he made it very clear that there's a part of him that wants it to fail and there's a part of him that wants it to succeed. He wants the movie to succeed. So, I mean, I think he has mixed emotions because he feels like it's his baby. He started it. He wrote the first and the second one and directed the first and the second one. And I think that, you know, this one, time-wise, it just didn't work out. He didn't want to be part of it under those constraints of that it has to be a summer movie, 2003, and he has to do it now type of thing. It doesn't operate that way. And so, you know, I totally appreciate that. Jim Cameron and I, we are very good friends. We stayed good friends over all these years, and we ride the motorcycle almost every Sunday morning together, and we have a blast. The Terminator game is not finished. I have not played the finished game. I would say it's the first time where someone has come with a video game to me where it looked like me, and so therefore that was refreshing. And what I saw, the little bit that I did see about the game, made it very clear that they are doing a high quality video game, and to pay a lot of attention to it. They spend also a lot of time on a set. We shot certain scenes specifically because of the video game that is not in the movie, that was specially done for video. So I think that they're going to do a great job, and I'm looking forward to being able to play with my kids in the game.
How hard is it to resist tripping behind the podium on the set in that last scene? I think everybody's waiting for you to sort of stand behind that.
All of those scenes were fun to do. I had a good time. I would say that's exaggeration, yes. I said that I would not be back. No, that's wrong. But as you know, in your profession, sometimes, though very rarely, but mistakes are made. I think that it's important to know that I love this character and I will continue coming back as long as the fans enjoy seeing me back. I totally operate by what the fans want, not what I want. The fans have to believe if they walk out of Terminator 3 and they say, this was fantastic, Arnold looked great, I love the Terminator, we want more, this is a great, you know, let's see the next one. You know, then we're going to go and talk about doing the next one. So I'm all ready for it. Yes. Well, it was a interesting challenge because the idea of making the Terminator from the first Terminator where he's Goliath, and to make him in a third Terminator, David, and vulnerable, where you feel sorry for him, and where you hope, oh, I hope she doesn't hurt him. And then it being a woman, actually, meaning the look of it is a woman, inside is a machine, clearly. But I mean, to make it a woman. I think that was a terrific idea, and it really, again, evolves the whole story and the characters of who I am in the world. Because in the first one, I mow down everything, everything is in front of me. And in the third one, there are moments where I feel sympathetic, where people say, there's no way he can make it against this monster, against this beast here, and all that stuff. So it's I become the David character in a way. What was challenging about doing it with a woman is the fight scenes, because I mean, I had no training of how you grab a woman, where do you grab her when you want to throw her against the wall, how hard can you really pick her up and throw her, how hard can you hit her, and all of those things. So I had to kind of rely on Kristana, that played the TX, the female Terminator, to tell me that you can go harder, you can grab me rougher, you can imagine that there's a guy standing in front of you. So it took like 5-6 takes sometimes to get up to that level of rough handling her, because I felt uncomfortable with it, honestly speaking. And so she was a great team player. She trained herself well with the stunt coordinators and with the stunt people, that she could handle it. And she didn't mind taking a few bruises and pains and aches here and there. She just went for it.